Bruce Jenkins joins us. Always a pleasure to bring in Bruce. It's time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins from the Chronicle, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. And don't forget their new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Marty, how you doing? I got to tell you, it was great to hear Carl Stewart on there earlier this morning. I'm a big fan of his. He's been a tremendous, just all-around presence in Bay Area sports writing for a long time. He goes back almost as far as I do, and that was great.
Yeah, and you know something? And I said to him, you know, when Alex Pavlovich goes on vacation or he's not writing, Carl fills in.
And Carl, does he ever.
Yeah, and his baseball stuff is outstanding.
It's like you don't lose a thing.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's just fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't know. And of course, I think of him at the Raiders, the Warriors, the column that he wrote on Saturday, like yours. But I never thought of him as baseball. And all of a sudden, you open up the book, and here's the treasure of baseball history. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I learned a lot about him there. He was raised in Chico and went to Oregon. My wife went to Oregon, and then she went to Chico after that.
How do you do that? That's not easy.
No, that isn't. That's the rare double there.
All right. Hey, your take on the first week. It's certainly every game has been entertaining, compelling, and a lot has been going on.
I just love watching the Giants lineup come through. You know, the fact is all these guys have done it in the past. They've done great things. They've been winners. They've put up numbers, and they're showing up in character. And, geez, I saw one guy, David Schoenfeld, an ESPN writer who's very good, says this could be the best offense in the National League. Now, I don't know if, you know, that's looking after 1 week with a lot of two-out hitting and a lot of runs on the board on the road. But still, I mean, it's that might be a bit of a stretch, but it's just really refreshing to see them produce like that. And really, it shouldn't be any big surprise because they've got the track records.
Yeah, and they're playing with confidence.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you, and as I said, Bruce, when we sat there in spring training, when you flip this order, 1 through 6, now it's even deeper than that because just about everybody's hitting except for Pence. But every time you flip it, you think you can do some damage.
Exactly. There's so much energy. The difference yesterday was unbelievable. The Dodger writer said Kemp was fussing and fuming around the clubhouse because he wasn't starting. And then all of a sudden he was, but the reason is because Yasiel Puig didn't quite make it to his first opening day. You know, I mean, and here you got Pagan and Pence and Michael Morrison. The energy just radiates off these guys and the confidence. And, you know, it's 6-0 before you're in your seat.
Well, and they beat a guy who gave him trouble. And tomorrow they get Greinke to see, you know, and they didn't see a lot of him, but Dodgers won 16 of his last 17 starts. Kershaw's out. But as I say, this week for me is instructive. Miley had nothing in that first inning. They whacked him around. Then he settled down. Arroyo was not ready. Cahill was pretty good, but they, you know, they took care of Cahill. And then, of course, you get the McCarthy, who went against his usual pattern of a lot of curveballs, and they eventually got to him. So far, there hasn't been a pitcher to go at him and say, hey, they can't hit this guy.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Arroyo, you know, there was a lot of talk in the offseason about the Giants trying to get him, and I think they were interested for sure. They backed off, you know, the 3-year demand and all that, but people wondered, geez, you know, is this a guy who got away? And it's early, and he's coming off an injury. But just about everybody in the lineup hit a rocket off of Arroyo in that game. Some of them were caught, but, I mean, they were all over him. So just, you know, the first impression eases a little bit of that. And, of course, you know, Hudson was in vintage form.
Wasn't he? So
every pitch
had a purpose.
Yeah, the guy's phenomenal. That's just exactly who he's always been. It's good to know he's still that guy.
206 major league wins. He jumped ahead of Sabathia. I'm glad to see that. Hey, did you see the system that Hensley Mullins has now? He assesses points for good things, and it's a competition, and they keep a record of this, and they post it in the clubhouse. And I'm thinking back, Alvin Dark, right? The pluses and minuses. Hal Ramey still talks about it today.
Yeah, you know, as soon as you think there's something new in baseball, you go back and, well, you know, Earl Weaver did this in 1969. That's great. When I see the A's watered down infield, you thought the Giants watered down the infield for Maury Wills. That's really taking it to extreme. He can't even play the game.
Hey, you know, I thought about that yesterday with D. Gordon.
Yeah.
D. Gordon gets on. You're down by 8 runs. He's running. It doesn't matter, but it. I swear to you, I said Wills, and you know you forget all these things, but Wills would do that. I mean, it didn't matter. Wills could not be thrown out. And eventually Alvin Dark watered down the base path by first base. But Dee Gordon's one of these guys that just flies.
Yeah, he was impressive. I wasn't too high on him just based on his really weak hitting over the years. But he looked great. He's got a nice sort of down-cut stroke. He's a line drive hitter, hits the hard ground balls that he'll beat out. And he's got a lot of presence. His dad is Tom Gordon. And they're high on him. He's going to be a lot better than I thought for sure.
And I think he's got a brother that they said is better. Coming up as well as somebody else as well. Well, the first week of replay is almost in. How do you feel about it now?
Well, I like it. I like it mostly as to where it's leading. I think Joe Torre came out yesterday and said, "Well, we hear all this talk about let's ditch the challenges, forget the managers, and just have a replay booth, whether it's on site or in New York." He said it wouldn't be that much quicker. Well, of course it would. It'd be way quicker. I mean, first of all, you got a manager strolling out to the umpire, and if it's Bochy, it's going to take a while. It doesn't move real fast. Sometimes he may not want to move that fast. And now he's out there chatting away, and meanwhile, Dunston's looking at the replay in the inside the clubhouse, and then they get the decision to either challenge or not. So that's a lot of time wasted right there. They're so close to having it right. I mean, all you have to do is have the guys in New York, watching the game, and as soon as anything happens, they're just on it right now. I mean, why wait? Why place so much, pressure on the manager? And of course, now Bochy takes heat for not having a challenge. He used it the play before on the play at first. Now you got a play at the bank at home plate that they don't get. They don't get the call and they can't challenge it. Well, that's just Why have the technology if you can't use it?
Yeah, and I think what they're worried about is slowing the game down. And
they've slowed it down a lot, and without any purpose. They can't release the notion of the umpires getting involved in this thing. They got to go down and put the headsets on, and by God, they're going to raise their fists for an out. But when in fact, if you did it fully electronically from New York and right back, just for a red light or a green light or whatever, boom, boom. It's done, and we move on. Forget the strolling out there and the headsets and all this garbage.
Yeah, it struck me, number one, if you have a play like the pickoff play and Bochy loses that, now all of a sudden you got the play at the plate, he can't challenge it. It's ludicrous. I mean, it seems silly.
It makes you wonder about the whole strategy of the thing. I think the next time Bochy gets a play like that in early innings, in a game that's not getting out of hand or it doesn't seem like the most crucial thing in the world, he might pass on the challenge just in case.
Well, you better be right.
Yeah.
And the play at second base, it was clear that Arias got the glove down and whoever it was, I forget, it was Hanley Ramirez. He left. He went back in the dugout. He knew he was out.
Yeah.
But you have to be right to use it. But the weird thing for me is when you know it's a close play and all of a sudden here comes the manager. And he's just coming out to stall.
Yeah.
Until you get the thumbs up or thumbs down. That, to me, is not baseball. That's not baseball.
And
a lot of
other strategy could come in. I mean, the manager could intentionally take forever as he chats away with the umpire to freeze the guy who's on the mound, who, meanwhile, if he's kind of a hothead, he's out there stalking around going, let's get going here, Or he can hurry up the process if he wants to for a certain reason. So it's... That's not baseball either. The game has to take place on its own time and tempo. So I think they'll get it right eventually.
Yeah.
And, the best part is seeing a bad call reversed, and that's why it's there.
Yeah, they're looking in the right direction. Let's put it that way. It's going to take a little bit of figuring it out, and they'll need a season to do it. This whole thing with the Dodgers, with Puig and Kemp and all this, doesn't this eventually come back to destroy a team? I mean, this is not the Raiders of the late 60s. There's got to be something to this when everybody is like, going in a different direction.
Yeah, well, everybody points to the A's of the early 70s and how some of those personalities clashed in a big way, to the point of violence at times. And a lot of those guys really didn't like each other, but... by God, they were on time, and when they took the field, you had hell to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when the best teams ever assembled, and all that other stuff didn't matter. But, Puig's got half his teammates up in arms over not being on the field, or when he's on the field doing something crazy. Kemp's a bit of a prima donna. I get his point. He's a great, great player. He's done a lot of things. But, you know, to be storming around the clubhouse and making a big scene all about you, that's not a good thing either.
No.
I agree with you. I mean, I had a call in spring training where I didn't think the Dodgers were a lock by any means. I think there's a lot of little things going on there that could disrupt them. Whether Puig personally destroys him, I don't know. That might be a bit of a stretch. You know, he'll probably go on a tear, and they'll have a bunch of new marketing plans built around him, and it'll all be great for a while. But I think they're very, very vulnerable from the standpoint of chemistry, and that definitely can hurt you.
Yeah, well, he's in there today against Bumgarner, and if I'm the third baseman, I'm moving back because this guy, really, he just takes a swing, Bruce, that I think.
Yeah.
Maybe Cespedes can equal it, but those two swings are maybe the strongest swings I think in baseball today. And he'll be in there, and he'll be wild today.
I kind of like what Mattingly did. He said, "All right, you're back, and you're leading off. You know, if Puig leaves off with a triple, that whole dynamic changes around that team."
Yeah, they need him to do that kind of stuff because if he doesn't and acts out, then it's going to drag the team down. They need him. It's coming clear to me. They need him to have a big season, not only for the balance of baseball on a ball club, but for the emotional side, because you can't put up with him if he's no good.
Yeah, and when he is good, that fourth outfielder thing becomes a drag because Crawford and Kemp and Ethier feel like they should be playing, and those guys are all absolutely, you know, starting caliber guys in the big. So real interesting to follow. The Giants-Dodgers dynamic has seldom been this interesting this early. I mean, right off the bat, it's just really, really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and I said yesterday, you know, Giants-Dodgers, it took one game for me to remember. It's just special. It's never over. It's special. And they play each other tough. It's how they're going to do against everybody else, because both of them will handle the West. I don't see anybody in the West pushing them around.
No.
It's what happens in the Central and on the road and all that. That's going to determine, I firmly believe it, what's going to happen.
Yeah, and one great thing about the Giants, we've seen it already, and I think it's going to continue, maybe not quite as to the point that we've seen, but they're a good road-hitting team. You know, they're going into these ballparks that make AT&T seem like the Grand Canyon, and they're just feasting. And you know, they haven't really been to the real bandboxes yet, by any means.
No, Pat is with us today. Pat, come on, say hello to Bruce.
Well, it's great to have Bruce Jenkins on the radar. I've been joining and catching you guys on the weekend, Bruce.
Hey,
what do you think about some of these national stories? Were you at the least bit shocked that the Hebrew Hammer Ryan Braun was cheered in Milwaukee?
Not at all. They love him. He's a hell of a hitter. He might be up for the season now, I hear. He's got a thumb injury. He's going to be out for a while. But, you know, that's just the same dynamic we had here with Bonds. I mean, if he's going to hit a three-run homer for you, and he's, you know, Braun, he's said and done so many weird things, but he's a nice guy who tries hard. He's got a nice smile. The chicks love him, you know, and he's going to be popular there, just period. Nelson Cruz is going to be big in Baltimore if he hits 30 homers. Johnny Peralta was big when he came back to the Tigers. That's just how it is.
And, Bruce, one more final national question for me, one that's just blown up the radio airwaves and the columns around the country the last couple of days, Daniel Murphy. And nobody's going to budge off their stance whether he should have been at work or not. You care to weigh in?
Well, yeah. I mean, having been at my child's birth and watching it happen, what am I going to say? Well, honey, I got to go. You know, I don't want to leave for 5 days. I mean, absolutely, you stay overnight. Absolutely, you put in that next day, and then you head out. I mean, it's just a matter of comportment, common sense. You know, family ties. I mean, it's April, for God's sake. If it was game two of the ALCS, I could kind of see it. But
well,
I mean,
everybody's
got their own take on the thing. I mean, some guys don't want to be anywhere near the birth. You know. I thought it was just really very tacky.
Yeah, as I said to Pat this morning, I said, if this is Yom Kippur and Hank Greenberg is hitting or Koufax is pitching, let's talk about it.
There you go.
But in April, I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, tomorrow we'll have you on again. I'm looking forward to it, of course. And I want to talk to you about opening days and some of your favorite. And there's some movement going along. Bud Selig, of course, started to make a national holiday out of opening day. So we'll talk about that.
All right. I'll give that some thought.
All right, Bruce. Have a good afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Pleasure. Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle. Always a pleasure to have him on. All right.